Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Manifesting freedom, health, wellness, and peace for all. This program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, I'm featuring the World Food Healers Day, which is happening on November 19th. This is the Chicken Song from the album Animal Songs by Will Tuttle. Here's a short little snippet of Jane Velez Mitchell, founder of Unchained TV, and Dr. Salish Rao, founder of Climate Healers, talking about World Food Healers Day.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so excited and honored to be part of this convergence and food healers, climate healers, just heal the planet. Dr. Rao is such an inspiration to me. That's why I did a whole documentary on him, because he actually gave me hope. So I just want to share my screen and just show what we did on Unchained TV to show people what this is really actually all about.
People should eat free food and good food and healthy, nutritious food for free.
Enjoy your vegan, delicious, organic food.
Today has been just unbelievable. I've never seen such a huge outpouring. We've had so many volunteers coming here. We are serving 1,500 free cups of aguas frescas, all fresh, all free, because healthy food should be free. This is all organic. We were actually also able to get 200 free vegan meals donated by our friend Haroon out of Norwalk, and we were able to serve those as well. We have so much food here leading up to November 19th for World Food Healers Day. Dr. Silesh Rao is doing it for his granddaughter Kamaya. That's her birthday. We will be serving food all over the world. We have food healers in every city and all over. New Delhi is joined on. We have 125 vegan restaurants signed on to give away free food.
People are just loving this food. They're coming back for seconds because they're just like, this is amazing food. And I'm like, yeah, you don't need to kill an animal to have amazing food. And this food's going to heal you. It's all organic. It's just amazing. It's delicious and very flavorful with all kinds of herbs. So people are loving it. Amazing reaction.
We are self-funded. We are just through foodhealers.org. You can look us up, Food Healers Los Angeles. And we are just all volunteers. And we have a bunch of chefs, vegan chefs, that are certified, and they make all of these meals just from the heart. That's what it is all about, serving healthy food, and healthy food should be free.
We're here. We're here to help the world go plant-based, because the world needs a helping hand to go plant-based. We've come out of generations of horrible eating habits, normalized violence against animals. Hey, let's go get a bacon cheeseburger. Oh, yeah, yes. Let's murder some pigs, murder some sentient cows, right? And that's after a life of enslavement, rape, misery, torture, abuse. Enough!
I'm working for the food healers. They asked me to come, you know, and just help out. And I said, oh, for sure, because I want to be among the people and feed them vegan food and share the love with everybody, and teach them about how you can have whole foods and plant-based food, all vegan, and enjoy the food and try to heal people, because there's so many people that are hurting out there with chronic diseases, and I want to teach them how to eat well and eat good for themselves and keep animals off their plate.
this was all shot on my phone. And we finally gotten this great workaround, this new mic that will eliminate that noise from the wind. And so the next time we do food healers, even if it's a gale storm, you won't hear that wind noise.
We're listening to a recording of Jane Velez Mitchell from this past weekend when she participated in VCOP number 11, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples, on the Climate Healers website. And that convergence was in preparation for World Food Healers Day, November 19th. Unity Stew, free vegan meals for people worldwide. Here's Dr. Salish Rao explaining what he uses to make Unity Stew.
So I use this for making my 50 meals. I soak like 4 cups of these beans overnight. So these are pinto beans, and I have, you know, black beans or red kidney beans, but 4 cups you soak overnight. And then I cook it in the Instapot in the morning. And then I have, it's about 1 cup of brown rice would go in that stew. And I have red lentils. So about 2 cups of red lentils I use. So I start off with the lentils. I mean, while the beans are cooking, I start off with the lentils and then add water to that and start cooking it. And then I start chopping vegetables. You know, we use tomatoes. So 50 people, I would use like 3 tomatoes. And I also put a couple of pears in it when I'm blending it, because that gives you some sweet taste. And I use 3 of these red onions. So I try to get everything organic. I'm going to be using 2 pounds of potatoes and 1 spaghetti squash will go in that for 50 people. 1 spaghetti squash and 1 bottle gourd. It's a squash again. So those 2 are my main vegetables. And for greens, I'm going to be using cilantro. And my spices, I'm going to be using garam masala. So I have garam masala, which is basically coriander seeds, cumin seeds, anise, cardamom, and cinnamon bark. So, and you can find recipes for garam masala on YouTube. I mean, but I get the fresh stuff and then I dry roast it in this little metal thing that I have. So I dry roast it on medium heat. So that wakes up the flavor. And I put it in the mixer with the tomatoes and onions and ginger and turmeric roots that I use. So that gives you a nice base for the stew. And so once the red lentils are cooking, I add the base, the ground up base with lemon. So I'll be using like 3 lemons. And I also have a couple of green peppers I'm going to throw it in there. And the nice thing about the stew is that you can put anything you want in it, and it works for the most part. Whatever I dry roast, I put it in the Vitamix with the onions and the tomatoes and the ginger and enough water to grind it together. Potatoes I don't peel because they're organic. The green squash I don't peel because that skin is fairly thin. But the spaghetti squash I peel. And usually Akhil comes to help me in the morning. So he comes and does all the peeling and the chopping of the vegetables. And we make them all sort of uniform size so it's easy to cook together. Once the lentils are done, I put in the ground up base. And then I put in the chopped vegetables. And then when it comes to a boil, I add the brown rice. So I add 1 cup of brown rice to it. And then I add the beans to it. That makes a complete meal. I mean, it's satisfying to people. So recall when Dr. Gandhi was on yesterday and he said costs about $2 a meal for them. But most of it is because they're buying cooked beans and they're buying sauces in a can. For me, because I'm making the sauce at home from vegetables and then using the Vitamix, and I'm also starting with dry beans and cooking it, it costs about 50 cents a meal as opposed to $2 a meal. I also use dill sometimes, dill. And the nice thing about dill is that you won't need any spices either when you use dill, because dill has a very powerful smell. So you have to wake up the smell for people when they're eating. You have to get them, tickle their taste. So you have to make it sour, a little bit of sour. So you need lemons for that. You need some sweets, so you need some fruits for that. So that's why I use pears. And this is, by the way, my mom's formula. She taught me. Just tickle all the senses in their tongue and their nose, and they'll be happy. It is a unity stew, but it's a particular instance of the unity stew. So, and the good thing, I mean, if you use dill, you don't even need any spices. I used to make it with dill for skimaya and without any spices, and it's perfectly fine. And then, of course, at the end, I put salt. So when you put salt at the end, then you need very little salt. So you're sort of minimizing the amount of salt. Whereas if you put salt in the beginning, then it goes and, you know, gets into the vegetables and it kind of dissipates itself. That, again, is a trick I learned from my mom. To minimize salt usage, just put it at the end. Okay. So you, instead of a garam masala spice mix, you can use a sambar spice mix, which is just different. You know, you just, instead of the cinnamon and the cardamom and the cloves, you use methi seeds, fenugreek seeds instead. So, and that makes it the sambar type of spice mix. And so you see the different curries that we make in India, it's just changing the combination of spices just a little bit.
That was Dr. Salish Rao of foodhealers.org. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Next, we'll hear a shortened edited clip of WeDidIt.health, one of the co-conveners of World Food Healers Day.
Today, we're so honored to have food healers, BJ Allen and Allison Hamji. They're both certified climate healers and will be presenting all about World Food Healers Day coming up on November 19th and why it matters to us all. World Food Healers Day is the key to the vegan world that we are creating. So welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Marikita.
Thank you.
I would encourage everyone to take this opportunity to do what We Did It does best, and that is to inspire, in this case, by participating in World Food Healers Day. It truly is inspirational.
I just thought of something. There's another way. If you're a person who can't go out and do this, invite people to your home for a unity stew. If you're a person who can't do that, ask your son or daughter, can you provide unity stew that day for me and my friends? So there are ways that we can do this in little amounts as well as grandiose.
The blessing of this food from the earth, you know, from this beautiful gift. I mean, that's amazing.
We meet on Zoom every Friday. So if you're interested, there's a Friday meeting at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Is that Central? I think that's Central.
7 a.m. Pacific.
And just pop in and ask a question. Well, how did you get what silverware did you use? Well, you know, that sort of thing. You can ask questions like that anytime. And if you want to volunteer for Climate Healers, come to our meetings and let us know, because we can always use some more help, maybe some more media.
So thank you for having us, Marikita. And we'll look forward to working together toward November 19th.
Thank you all. This has been, it's been wonderfully informative.
Of World Food Healers Day. Is there anything else you'd like to add, BJ?
Yeah, thank you. I would love to tell a little bit more about VCOP, we call it, because there are other ways to participate in World Food Healers Day. For instance, there's a woman that's going to speak who gets grants. So you can start building your network, and then you may want to get grants so you can do this regularly, because, of course, this is just the start. This is to initiate action, to provide free food. Imagine how that will change the world when people working in some of these horrible jobs don't have to worry about food, or when they can do it in community. You know, it saves money if you do it in a community.
You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're featuring World Food Healers Day, as well as an intro into the philosophy of deep veganism. Welcome back from the break. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. This music is by Will Tuttle. This is the Calves Song. Prior to the break, we heard about World Food Healers Day, coming up November 19th, the beginning of the end of human hunger. Free vegan meals worldwide. Now we'll hear a little snippet of a recording which helps us to understand why veganism is essential. Yoga of Ahimsa Retreat with Dr. Will Tuttle and Meenakshi Angel Honig, held at the Gardens, Maui, Hawaii, 2015. By Maui Films, Frederick Honig and his sister, Meenakshi Angel Honig. And this is a short snippet of it, of the speech by Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, and the upcoming new book, The Benevolent Revolution. And I'm including this short clip because as a World Peace Diet facilitator myself, our message is that veganism is really necessary for freedom for humans. And Dr. Will Tuttle will be explaining this in more detail. And veganism is necessary for world peace. And as we see the human atrocities perpetuating on century after century, generation after generation for so many people, here's a solution for transformation into peace, abundance, and harmony. Freedom and nonviolence for all, humans and the other animals too.
25, I never ate meat again. That was it. And about 5 years later, I heard about the cruelty to dairy, cows, and hens. So I became a vegan in 1980. So that's 35 years. I haven't been to a doctor in 40 years, you know, and Madeline's the same thing. You know, it's really a wonderful thing to do for your health. The teaching is whatever we sow, we reap. If we're going to inflict massive disease, I mean, these animals we're eating are very diseased. There's a huge amount, and there's over 10,000 different drugs and hormones that are forced on these imprisoned animals. And we feed that to our children. These poor animals are just so abused and such fear. So how can we expect to be healthy ourselves when we're inflicting disease on others? See, the basic idea is whatever you sow, you will reap. If we look deeply into all the world religions, we see they all, and all the saints and sages and gurus and mystics and seers and so forth from all the traditions agree that the basic teaching of all the religions really is whatever you most want for yourself, to give that to others. And animals, we know that these beings have interests and that their interests are to them as important to them as our interests are to us. So this is the situation that we have the opportunity to not harm them. Like Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When we choose foods that are in our best interest and not cause suffering to others, not only do we find our physical health being a lot better, but we find that our spiritual, psychological, and emotional health, as well as our cultural and environmental health, are much better too. Because the basic thing is this: animal agriculture is the most devastating thing we're doing on the outer level, like I've been saying, to the environment, to our physical health, to our culture. But it's also, at a more important level, perhaps even than that, the most devastating thing we're doing to the landscape of our inner consciousness, that it really does something to our consciousness to be eating animal foods. So we have to shut down our consciousness. World Peace Diet, I guess, in a sense, is the only book that really goes into this. The anthropologists understand that the main way any society transmits its values from generation to generation is through rituals. And the main ritual in any society are the meals. So sitting down at a meal with one's parents or with whoever it is, neighbors, whatever, is partaking at the deepest level of the cultural program. Every meal is essentially teaching us that when we see a being, certain beings, like, again, cows, pigs, chickens, and fishes, and the other animals that are used for food, we don't see beings, we see things. We see bacon, we see burgers, we see cheese, we just see an object. This mentality of reductionism is not only devastating to these poor animals who are reduced to things and horribly abused because we do that, it's bad for us. When we reduce others, we end up reducing ourselves. And so we create a whole economic system. I don't have to go into this. You all know what I'm talking about. That is based on the commodification of human beings, of ecosystems. We learn to look at forests in terms of bored feet. We learn to look at other human beings in terms of how I can get you to do what I want you to do and pay you money to do or whatever it is. And so, and we turn ourselves into a commodity that we have to sell on the market as well. So this whole process is based on animal agriculture. It's based on reducing beings to things. If we want to have a society of peace and freedom and equality and justice, it's absolutely available. The price we have to pay is the ice cream cone and the fish sticks and the burgers that we casually consume, thinking that this is good food for good people. We will create a society of domination and exploitation because that is the spinning fury, as I said, at the core that's hidden. Mentality of reductionism, of commodification, also of disconnectedness. Every meal essentially is a ritualized injection into us of a program disconnecting, of learning to just not make the connections, of staying shallow and not feeling deeply, not looking deeply, not listening deeply, not thinking deeply, to just believe that everything is fine just the way it is. And so we learn to numb our sensibilities. We learn to reduce our natural intelligence and wisdom and compassion. And when we do that, that works very well. All of this works very well for a tiny wealthy elite that thrives off a mass of human beings who are reliably trained through eating meat and dairy products to not ask questions, to believe whatever's told to them on the evening news, to buy whatever products are in the advertisements that are spewed forth all the time. And so what we're talking about, essentially, if we want to talk about Earth Day, we're talking about world peace, or we're talking about veganism, or we're talking about love, or we're talking about compassion, or caring, or freedom, or creativity, or celebration, any of these things are all the same. Essentially, it's resurrecting our consciousness out of this very insidious program that's been injected into us by a culture. But the reason we continue it is because of food. You want to eat that way, you want to eat meat and dairy, you're going to create an entire system based on abuse and exploitation of animals and of female animals. It's all about dominating the sacred feminine. That's what animal agriculture is. It's not just about human beings dominating animals. It's about men dominating female animals, and not just female animals, but specifically their uteruses, their mammary glands, their vaginas, stealing their babies, impregnating them against their will, and stealing their babies again. This is causing enormous suffering to these animals, cows and pigs and chickens, these mothers and these babies. They're enormously suffering. I mean, they just cry for their babies, and the babies cry for their mothers. But it hurts us to be living in a society where we're doing this millions of times every day behind the curtain. We have these billboards everywhere that say, make a joke out of milk, like, oh, this is Chloe, she has happy milk, and it's absolutely the most insidious, horrific violence we can imagine, and we're pretending that we're the kind of people we think we are. And so, like Carl Jung talked about the shadow, he said the bigger the shadow is, the shadow is what we are, but which we know we're not that. No, I'm not that. And he said the bigger that is, the harder it is to see. And this, our routine mistreatment of animals, and the hideous cruelty and sexual abuse of animals on a massive, gargantuan scale, is so huge and it's completely invisible. And that is the spinning fury that's driving us to devastate the planet. It really unravels the quality of relationships between people, between the sexes, between generations, and between us and our own spiritual higher awareness. And so the foundation of not only cultural awakening, but also our own spiritual awakening, is to question the food, question violence towards animals for food. If we have not done that, what are we doing? I mean, we haven't really gotten too far. If we haven't questioned that, that is by far the foundation, the most important thing, not only on the outer level, but on the inner level, because eating animal foods is reducing this capacity we have to make connections, to be inclusive. The fundamental teaching of every meal is exclusion. I don't care about those beings. I don't care about them. Just not caring, just excluding. What we're talking about in spiritual awakening and really creating a society that's healthy is inclusion, right? We're including each other in the sphere of our kindness and compassion. We're including future generations and children and other species. We're including. So to question this exclusiveness, the question, the domination of the feminine. I refer to that in the World Peace Diet as Sophia. Sophia was the ancient Greek goddess of wisdom and refers to the inner intuitive wisdom that we all have. So it's really about reconnecting with our intuition at a deeper level with the sacred feminine power that yearns to protect and nurture life. But veganism is essentially is the resurrection of the sacred feminine, the resurrection of this capacity that we have to make connections, and the reconnecting with our own fundamental wisdom and compassion, and then doing it in communities. I think I'm going to begin to wrap up the talk here. Just to say that the only reason, as I've been saying, I think I've kind of implied this, the only reason anyone eats meat and dairy is because of the communities we've been raised in, right? And that's what kind of continues to enforce it. We're very much products of our communities. There's a great saying by Krishnamurti. You know, he said, it's not a good idea to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And so that, you know, when we hear the, when we understand what's really happening in our society and what's happening to animals, what's happening to hungry people, what's happening to people's health and to future generations and so forth, the devastating effects of animal agriculture, then we are basically faced with the question, so how do I respond to that? You know, how do I actually respond to that understanding? And do I just fit in and go along with the program and kind of have blinders on and just pretend? Or do we actually allow this awakening to take root in us, question these behaviors? And veganism isn't just behavior, it's also an inner way of living.
Thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts.
You know, it's interesting. The very first word for war is the old Sanskrit word, gavya. It comes from the word go, which means cow. And gavya means the desire for more cows.
And thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station nor its management. You're listening to The Turkey Song by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.
Just know that we're part of a benevolent transformation on this planet. It is happening. Progress is being made. There's no more important thing anyone can do than to make an effort to contribute to this, to understand it, to live it more fully and deeply. And as we do that, at least we're doing something worthwhile and our lives have positive meaning, which is, I think, the most important thing we can do is to really connect with that deep meaning, what life is all about. So much love to you all, and really thank you so much, all of you, for your efforts. Thank you.
Let's Go Out with the Cow Song by Will Tuttle. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.